Continuing your education has never been easier and is one of the fastest ways to advance your career.
Belhaven's Christ-Centered Education is nationally recognized for its competitive pricing. With our generous transfer credit policy and college credit for work experience, you can earn your certificate, associate's, or bachelor's degree sooner than you may expect. And we offer graduate programs specifically tailored for working adults to earn their master's or doctoral degrees.
We're here for you every step of the way. Let's make Belhaven your haven.
Welcome into Belhaven Diamond Talk here on the Blazer Sports Network. Kenneth Nash joined, as always, by head baseball coach Andrew Gibson. Coach, we've been talking about having some 75% weeks to talk about, and those are a lot of fun. There's one thing that's more fun than that, and that's a 4-0, 100% win week. You got this past week to wrap up conference play, to wrap up the Maloney series. Obviously, there's still another game out there for you, but wrapping up the regular season, there's no better way to do it than going 4-0 in a week.
Amen to that, buddy. we win 100% of these games the rest of the way out, we're going to be in good shape.
Yep.
What's funny about all that is obviously the ebbs and flows of a season. What we take pride in and what we try to set this thing up for, and it's from a weight room standpoint, it's from a practice standpoint, it's the way we coach and how we never stop regardless of what the record is. We want to be our best in April and May. And then obviously June if it gets to that point. And I'm proud of our guys, man. I told them when we got off the bus, when we got back from Asbury, after the game one of the Maloney series, we got beat 7-3. I was frustrated. We had a meeting with the captains in left field, kind of got some things back reset. Well, we're 13-2 since that meeting in left field. And, I just think that a lot of that credit goes to our captains and what they wanted out of this. They've stood true to their word. They wanted a championship caliber ball club and, a nationally ranked, if you will, type of feel to this team. And here we are, and I don't know, what are we, 27-11 now?
Yep, 27-11 overall, yep.
But 13-2 since that meeting, I think speaks volumes about what they want out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 27-11 now. You're going to finish the regular season in conference 13-5. I believe I'd have to go double check, but I believe the second seed is taken care of. Yeah. At this point. It looks like you're going to be headed back to Maryville as the number two seed. But obviously, like you said, it's been a really successful stretch since you had that meeting and kind of that, hey, what do we want out of this? Things have been really good. You've only dropped a couple of games since then, and you've really started to hit stride recently. The 4-0 week this week, let's go ahead and start with Millsaps. Rubber match of the Maloney series, trying to retain the trophy for a seventh straight season, a sixth straight series win. Obviously, the two teams did not play in 2021 following COVID and all of that. But you're wanting to retain that trophy. It's a big game. Outside of the series, though, it's a big game because you start talking about NPI and rankings. And Millsaps, at the time of the game, was a top 20 team, actually top 15 team in NPI. You were in that top 25 range. And so this is a big game. Obviously, strength of schedule, a top 15, top 20 win nationally. And you get that, a 10-5 win. I thought this was one of your best midweek performances of the year. Obviously, you had the Rhodes game where the bats really exploded in the back half, but the pitching was a little bit rough in that Rhodes game.
Yep.
You gave up five runs, but it was never it never felt like it really, really spiraled. I know you ran into some trouble in the eighth inning, yep. But it never felt like the game really spiraled out of control. You put up runs, you kept runners off base, you limited damage. I thought all around it was a really good performance against Millsaps.
It was, and it was kind of suffocating, Yeah. Offensively, when you score in, what was it, four or five consecutive innings, consecutive innings, yeah. You can always give yourself a chance. Obviously, I would have liked for us to have pitched better at the back end of that game, but when you have that type of cushion, you can run some guys out there who are struggling a little bit that are trying to find their way, and honestly, we need Fletrich to go down the stretch.
Yeah.
He's a piece that, he was our fireman of the year last year. He's just struggled to command the ball. We've got to figure out the slider. It hasn't been as good as it was last year. And then the fastball command, we're running away from it a little bit and hitting some guys and all that. But big picture, I was proud of the way that we competed because we had to kind of script that game because we had the quick turnaround on Thursday. So yep. I really couldn't afford to let any of those guys go for more than probably 15 or 20 pitches. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been available on Thursday for, you know, what proved to be a really big conference weekend. You know, so super proud of you know, I wrote on the lineup card before the game, the hat stays with us. Like, yeah. It, you know, that thing's important to me. I've been a part of this series, you know, as a player, as an assistant, now as a head coach, and, you know, very, very fortunate to have won what I guess that would be 5 of 6 against them the last 2 years. Coach Page always does a good job, man, and he does it the right way. And, you know, so anytime you can beat them, you know you've earned it.
I'm interested, this game, Millsap scores in the top of the first, and that inning, the way that inning started, it was like, oh boy, this could be a long night.
Yep.
First hit by pitch, pass ball, walk.
Yep.
First two guys are aboard. They move up to second and third on a double steal. You got two on in scoring position, one out. You get the sack fly, though. You're in that situation, you'll trade the run for the out every time.
100%.
And then I don't know how much Chess Parker caught the line drive back at him as much as it caught
yeah.
him. But he gets the out. He gets out of the inning. When we talk about being able to control games, obviously in that moment, you're down. It's early, but you're down. But controlling games is in a bad spot, getting away with minimal damage. You did that later in the game in the 8th,
yeah.
which we'll talk about with John Wade. But in that moment, top of that lineup, they can all hit.
Yep.
1 through 6 is really, really tough in that Millsaps lineup. The first two guys reach, and they're thinking multi-run inning
sure.
to get out of it with one. How much of that just lets you guys kind of take a deep breath, reset? You come back, you score in the second, and then you score 3 in the 3rd, 4, 2 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th, 1 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, and the bats never really let up, and you
yep.
controlled it from that point forward. But how much was getting out of that inning, controlling the damage in that inning, allowing you guys to reset a little bit and slow the game down and get it back on your terms?
It was huge, you know, and some of it was luck.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously you were there. So first two batters of the inning happen. I come out the dugout. Me and Chess have a little meeting of the minds on the mound.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to the big picture of really the last few weeks. What did they score? They scored 5 in that game.
Yeah.
4 of them were on free passes.
Yeah.
All right. So either walk.
They only had 3 hits in the game.
Yeah. Walks or HBPs. And it's like, hey, like we have to control the strike zone. We've got to go through the middle of the plate and then work from there. You know, which I don't want us to be middle. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But like we've got to work to the thirds of the plate early in counts and let them get themselves out. Hitting's hard, man.
Yeah.
Like it's a hard thing to do, especially when you can throw the ball in the mid to upper 80s and you can show another secondary pitch, which Chess can do, all of those things.
Yeah.
But we make the moment bigger than what it is. Maybe it's our first start, or maybe it's, you know, it's the fact that we you know, don't feel great or what. At the end of the day, it's still pitching. And, you know, honestly, it's why I like being on the pitching side of the ball, because I think hitting is really hard, and I think it's a lot easier to coach pitchers because there's a confidence level that should inherently be there because they know what's coming. They know where they're trying
yeah.
to throw the ball. The hitter doesn't know those things. You know, so, you know, we did. I mean, and when I say luck, like the last two outs of that inning were hard hit.
Yeah, they were.
You know, but we didn't free pass them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's 7 people behind you with gloves on that are trying to help you collect the ball. You know, and we did that. He got the ball back through the middle of the plate, and then we kind of went from there. And you know, obviously the response, the 3rd through the 7th inning, I guess that was, from our offense was huge. You know, they threw their guys. I mean, they started their closer against us. I mean, you know, they wanted that game just as much as we did.
And, yeah.
You know, so I was proud to see the bats come alive and pick us up, all, you know, as a pitching staff, because, you know, there was just spurts in that game where I just didn't think we were very competitive on the mound. Even though they only had 3 hits,
yeah,
it's still, you know, we overcomplicated some things on the mound.
Offensively, you didn't score in the first. You get a heck of a defensive play from Hayden Roberts to end the second. Come back, and then it was for a couple innings. It was the freshman infielders, Austin Canale,
yeah.
Drives in a run in the second to tie the game. Dathan Cummings comes back with an RBI hit in the 3rd to give you the lead. Canale with a base hit. scores another run. It was those guys kind of carrying the load, and then some of your vets really started to pick things up as well. What was interesting in this game was it never, you know, Trust Mark's an interesting ballpark, and it's one where the big swing is not always one pitch away. Mm-mm. It just isn't. Even if the wind's blowing out, it's tough to get one out of there.
Yep.
It's tough to find a gap. There's a lot of green space out there.
Yep.
And if you've got good outfielders, it's hard to get one down. It never felt like you guys got the big hit. You know, you look through these RBI hits or these RBI at-bats, and it's a lot of base hits. It's a lot of sack flies and hit by yeah. pitches, and it's that kind of thing. But what I did see was a lot of grinded out at-bats mm-hmm. and guys who were willing to either get down 2-0-2 and fight their way back. We had a couple of those. Tristan Pearson, who is a top five, I think, in the country in hit by pitches,
yeah.
wore a couple in that game. But there was a lot of grinded out at-bats, not trying to be too big, not trying to get ahead of the moment, but just doing what it takes to move the offense along and get the run across it. I was really impressed with that because it's really easy, I feel like, in these games where the offense is clicking a little bit and there's guys on start swinging for doubles and triples and home runs, and your guys never did that. And it paid off with 10 runs, 14 hits.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we hang our hat on is extending innings, you know, which I thought we did a really, really good job of on Tuesday. You know, Coach Drake, Coach Conley, Coach McHenry, all those guys do a really good job with our hitters week in and week out. And, you know, there's a definitive fight in our group that it's noticeable. You know, last year, not so much. Like, we had probably two or three guys in the lineup that would actually go toe-to-toe with you with two strikes. And, you know, this year I feel like that number's a lot higher. Obviously, I think us anchoring the box is a big deal. I think we're up to second in the country now
mm-hmm.
In HBPs. You know, we had to set some sort of record at Asbury. I mean, I think they hit us 20 or 30 times.
yeah.
But... You know, it all those things lead to runs, you know, and you're right. The extra base hits are hard to come by, you know, specifically with this offense. You know, we don't have as much firepower as we had last year with home runs and stuff like that. So, you know, we're having to single more. We're having to you know, take our HBPs, take our walks. And, you know, so a stat that we keep track of is walks plus HBPs divided by the strikeouts. And what's that number? You know, obviously we want it to be close to a 1-to-1, if not better. You know, and this week I think was the first week that we've done that past the very first week of the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously if you can get a 90, we'll take it any way we can get it. That could be a hit, that could be a walk, it could be a HBP. And then you just got to continue to pass the bat and move those things along, and you look up and, you know, you're 10 runs deep.
Yeah, it was you kind of hear the phrase, some people talk about like death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah.
That's what it was. 14 yep. hits, 13 of those were singles. Blake McCarthy had the only extra base hit, which I know you wouldn't turn your nose up at a couple extra base hits, but it was a very efficient and team performance, and it was 1 through 9. That were being productive. As we wrap up this game, I want to talk about John Wade's performance at the back end. He came in, and as tough a spot as you can ask a freshman reliever to come into. At the point he came in, it was a 10-5 game, bases loaded, nobody out. So the tying run is on deck at this point.
Yep.
Comes in the eighth, does not allow a single inherited runner to score, which when you talk about what great relievers do, it's not just not giving up runs. It's not giving up inherited runs.
That's right.
He came in, got a strikeout, got a double play, got out of the inning, came back in the ninth, and was shut down in the ninth as well. Ground out back to him, and then back-to-back strikeouts at the top of their lineup.
Yeah.
There were 1 and 2 guys, and Grayberry, Bradley Pell, who are phenomenal hitters.
Yep.
That was another level. We've talked about him a lot, and that he's a – you've got a talented crop of young arms that you're excited about. He's one of them. This was by far his best performance for you so far this year as a collegiate player. And 2 innings, no hits, no runs, 3 strikeouts. Like I said, he came in bases loaded, nobody out, and didn't give up a run.
Yeah, it was awesome to see, man. You know, and honestly, in shallower pitching staffs, he would have been pitched a lot more than I think he's only thrown 9 innings so far.
Yeah.
You know, but he's certainly going to be one that's used more down the stretch. We were trying to protect him a little bit. You know, he is young, and so is Alak, and so is Statton, and so is Mike Scott, and all these guys that we're using at a high level. Well, the thing with young arms is if you overexpose them too early, there can be some PTSD, if you will. You know, like in terms of – that's what I'm so proud of with ALAC. Like we get – he blows a save against Piedmont and then comes right back.
Yeah.
You know, well, what – I was trying to prevent that with John. You know, so John has sort of crept along, and then now all of a sudden it's an animal in the back. And – you know, I think his walkout song's perfect. Yeah, like Big John. No, but I'm super proud of the way he came in. You know, and that you could tell, like, there's a lot of times when I drop a ball in somebody's glove, I'm walking back to the dugout, and the look on their face tells me everything I need to know about where we're at. And his look was, I got you, coach.
Yeah.
You know, there's sometimes where I drop that ball, and the look is that of a little fear, and you get right back on the walkie-talkie and say, hey, get so-and-so up, you know, because we got to move on to the next guy. It's going to be quick. But, no, I mean, from the very first pitch he threw, I mean, he popped the mitt, and it was 90, and, you know, John could pitch for anybody in the country, man. And I'm talking about Southern Miss, talking about Ole Miss, you name it. I mean, he's a 90-92 with the slider. Like, that plays at every level, and, you know, certainly proud he's on our team.
Absolutely. It was an impressive performance and a moment where I don't think many people, freshmen, I think he had six innings coming into that performance, five innings coming into that outing.
Yep.
Nobody would have necessarily blamed him if it looked a little shaky.
Sure.
And it wasn't. It was crisp, and he did exactly what you would have asked him in that, to do in that moment. Let's jump ahead to this weekend as we've kind of gotten – we got sidetracked by an important game, no doubt.
Yep.
You come to this weekend, you're headed to Kentucky, final conference series of the regular season for you. You get a sweep of Asbury at their place. Games followed a little bit different flows at various points. You had a pretty big blowout in there, and then you had a high-scoring game, and you had a low-scoring game that was pretty close for a lot of it, but you get three wins. Game one, you win 5-2. You had 10 hits. You scored four in the first two innings, and then things kind of dried up a little bit until the ninth.
Yeah.
But your pitching did a great job carrying the load. Cade May and Lane Alak combined and gave up just the two runs over nine innings. May continues to just be the model of consistency.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily going to be 10 strikeouts in seven innings, and it's not going to be shutouts, although he did have a shutout last weekend against Huntington. But it's not always going to be, you know, eight-inning shutouts, but it's rarely going to be a bad outing. It's, I think, out of his probably 10, 11 starts this year, I think nine of them are quality starts.
Yep.
He goes seven innings, six hits, two runs, three walks, four strikeouts, and then Alak comes in and gets the two-inning save, punches out four in those two innings as well. You got the runs early. Pitching did the job in the middle innings. You got the last little insurance run in the ninth, and all around you did what you needed to do, get a win in game one.
Yeah, we did, and Cade was good. You know, and that's good despite not having fastball command.
Yeah.
You know, he's been frustrated his last couple of outings because we're just not quite getting the ball where we're trying to go. I mean, he's throwing strikes.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between throwing strikes and commanding the ball, and he's old enough and self-aware enough to know that. You know, he just keeps coming in the dugout. He's like, Coach, I'll figure it out. And I'm like, well, just keep throwing up zeros while you're figuring it out, and I'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, but – yeah, I mean, he is. He's the model of consistency. He's everything that we preach. When he misses to portions of the zone that it doesn't hurt you as much.
Yeah.
May give up a single, which I don't care.
You know,
like, go ahead, hit your singles.
Yeah.
Because what he's not going to do is free pass you, you know, and he's gonna get the ball on the ground. That's a very, very, very tough ballpark to play in.
Yeah.
In terms of if you're a pitching guy and like ERA and like low runs, that is a very offensive ballpark.
Yeah.
The surface plays offensive, meaning there's not a whole lot of true consistent hops. So getting yourself out of jams with double play balls and things like that's really not in question or not able to be done. You know, it's a smaller park, especially towards the gaps and towards the line. The center field's fine, but the gaps from baseline extended towards the foul poles is pretty shallow. So, you know, to only give up two at that place,
yeah.
You got to do some special things on the mound. I thought Cade and Alak did that.
You come back game two, and we talked about it last week, that the fireworks that, that this ballpark can provide, and we didn't see it in the game one, but we certainly saw it in game two. Your run rule, Asbury, 24-4, second time this season you've scored more than 20 runs. I didn't do the math, but I'd have to say you're approaching double digits in the 15-plus category in runs in a game. 19 hits, you had four home runs, you hit the ball well top to bottom. Blake McCarthy had an unbelievable game, 4-for-4 with five RBIs. He had a double, pardon me, he had a home run in this game. He was great. Hunter Harrell, 3-for-4 with three RBIs. J.D. Wee had a big three-run homer. Dathan Cummings had his first career home run. Owen Abney came off the bench, had a three-run homer. I mean, it was everybody and anybody.
Yep.
Was finding a gap, and a lot of guys were getting out of the ballpark. And the pitching did what it needed to do. It wasn't perfect. It's like you just said, it's not going to be perfect most of the time at Asbury. Colt Sylvester, 4 2/3, six hits, three runs, struck out four, but only the one hit by pitch.
Yeah.
No free passes, really. Logan Gaudreau, an inning and a third, three hits, one unearned run, a couple of strikeouts, and then Ben Hoover finished it out with a shutout inning and a couple of strikeouts. But the bats were alive, and this is, I think, what you would have wanted to see. Obviously, you're not necessarily banking on 24 runs, but you would have wanted to see guys open it up a little bit this weekend, and they did that in game two.
Yeah, you know, the conditions were favorable to hit home runs for sure. I mean, it was beyond the ballpark being smaller. I mean, the wind was literally blowing out probably 25 miles an hour to dead center.
Yeah,
I mean, like the flagpole was. I mean, the flag was about to blow off the pole at one point. So you know, but I thought we did a really good job of being in an approach. You know, I got on him a little bit during BP because I'm watching us try to hit the ball out of the yard. And you really don't have to. I mean, you know, when baseline extended is 340 feet and you got the wind blowing out 25 miles an hour, I mean, I can hit the ball out, you know, like, so I thought we did a really good job with the approach. I thought Colton did a good job. You know, unfortunately we had to take him out there with some forearm soreness in the fourth or fifth. So hopefully he's okay. Nothing, we're not sending him to the doctor or anything like that, but he going through his normal treatment progression, try to get the tightness out of that forearm. You know, we really need him down the stretch.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I plan on him pitching this weekend in Dallas, and, you know, we need to see kind of how this side session goes tomorrow, to figure out how much availability we're going to have with him. You know, I always enjoy the games where – I enjoy every game, but I really enjoy the games where our starters get our bench players on the field. You know, because I'll be honest with you, man, like we're probably two, possibly even three deep at every position, and there's not a whole lot of gap between the guys that get the more at-bats and the guys that don't. It's just what are you doing with those opportunities? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Abney was a player of the year last year.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he's not an everyday player right now, but still coming off the bench and you know, not just hitting home runs, but now we're starting to finally put together really quality at bats off the bench. And, you know, we're getting into two strike counts like he did against Millsaps and going to the backside. Well, he did the same thing this weekend. You know, he goes up the middle for, you know, a nice two strike adjustment. You know, so I'm proud of my group. I'm proud of the way this thing is clicking. You know, certainly thankful that we were able to put up 20. That always makes a pitching coach and guy calling pitches, you can get a little bit more aggressive and on the plate.
Absolutely. So you clinch the series win with that. You come back in game three, and this one, you just talked about the conditions. This would have been the back end of the doubleheader. Similar conditions, favorable to offense, and both teams swung it well. So you win at 17-11, 14 hits for you, 13 for Asbury. You were able to get the big outs when it mattered, and had a little bit of pop in there as well. Blake McCarthy, another big day. He goes in game two, he goes 3-for-4 with a double, another home run, five RBIs. He walked twice. He was named CCS Player of the Week yesterday. I think he hit 563 with 11 RBIs this week. I think he leads the conference in runs driven in now. I think he's up to 40. He was great. Owen Abney, you mentioned, 3-for-4. He also walked twice, and which is something that you would like to see. Being disciplined at the plate, we know how big that bat is and what it can do, but because of how big that bat is and what it can do, he doesn't always see great pitches to hit. He got a couple of walks. Cole Fletcher went 2-for-4 with a few RBIs. Once again, it was a really a solid hitting performance top to bottom. Pitching was a little bit rockier in this one, but the back end was really solid. Gunnar Statton goes inning in 2/3, just the one unearned run. He gets the win. Chess Parker, a shutout inning, and then John Wade, a shutout inning to close things out, which was really the difference in the game because you got in those late innings, you plated six across the eighth and the ninth, and those guys threw up zeros, and you were able to pick up the win.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think there's a couple of things that we've got to figure out. One is if we're going to win a conference tournament or a regional, we have got to have somebody step up and take this game three.
Yeah.
You can piece together game four. Yeah. Like, you can do it.
Everybody's going to have to piece game three.
Correct. But game three, we've got to have somebody that steps up, takes the reins on this thing. And it may go back to Canale.
Yeah.
It may be Cole Burton.
Yeah.
It may be Gunner.
Yeah.
You know, and it may be Mike.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't gotten the warm and fuzzies with anybody in that spot yet, and we keep running people out there. And we keep melting, you know, we're just nothing solid about our game three, in the front end of the game. You know, I think we've been pretty solid in the back end of the game. I mean, it's what won us the weekend against LaGrange. It's what won us the weekend at Asbury. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, our bullpen was better than their bullpen. That's bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, so, super proud of the fight. You know, I told a couple of guys in the dugout, I'm like, we got to stop. We got to sprint to the finish here because, you know, obviously at that time, you don't know what Maryville's doing. I still think that 13 or 14 is going to always be kind of the number.
Yeah.
Maryville's every year changing my mind.
Yeah, they're headed to 17.
We got to go undefeated in conference play to win it.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine, whatever. I mean, good for them. You know, they're the regular season champ again, and you know, we're their only loss, and they should have two losses to us, and we fumbled it. But getting back to Asbury, really proud of the fight. It's easy to be up there in those conditions. I mean, I'm serious. Like, the wind was blowing 20, 30 miles an hour all day.
And, yeah.
You know, that kind of wears on you. You know, but the captains got the group up. I guess whenever Asbury tied the game at 11, I guess that would have been the seventh. You know, Cooper Williams and the captains got everybody up and was like, all right, let's press reset on this thing. Let's get back in the fight. And they certainly did that. And, you know, obviously Chess and John there at the end, man, that was two big zeros, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good bullpen performance at the end of that game. Obviously the bats were alive and well all weekend. You've got one weekend left in your regular season. While pretty much everybody else finishes up conference play in the CCS, because there's not a number of teams, every team's got essentially a bye week in conference during the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yours comes at the end of the year. Tell us about what to expect this weekend, University of Dallas, and then it's an interesting weekend too because it's a quick turnaround because the conference tournament starts Wednesday the 30th. So that's going to impact decision making, I'm sure, in terms of pitching. You know, you can't run Cade May out there for six or seven innings because you're going to need to turn him around and pitch him on Wednesday.
Yep.
How much of this is just try to go win the game, get guys a couple innings, and get everybody kind of in a rhythm before you start the CCS tournament?
Yeah, you know, we want to play. You know, obviously, you always want to play. When we get to the back end of the season, there are factors that come into play that you don't really like to make decisions on as a coach.
Yeah.
Because if NPI wasn't a thing, then we would go up there and play two games and nobody think anything different. Well, we're sitting at 21 in the latest NPI.
Yeah.
They're like 308.
Yeah.
Well, 75% of the decision-making factors in this NPI system is strength of schedule. 25% is win-loss, 75% is strength of schedule. So, you know, we called their coach yesterday, and basically with the weather that's happening on Friday and potentially Saturday, we just decided to play a single game on Saturday, you know, for two reasons. One, I don't want to play any sort of shortened game, not with our chances of having it at large. You know, and then the second portion is I don't really want to deal with the weather on Friday.
Yeah.
And, you know, Saturday looks to be clear. When we scheduled Dallas, you know, perennially they're a good club. They've had a down year. I don't know if it's a rash of injuries or, you know, just some unfortunate events. But You know, they are certainly capable of beating us, you know, just like Asbury. They got about the same record, and Asbury, you know, took us to the wire in game one, and then they were tied with us in the seventh inning in game three. So, you know, at the end of the day, man, it's us. And, you know, every lineup card we write, it has our side and it has their side. So my dugout card has our lineup and their lineup. Well, purposely every day, and I haven't told my guys this, but I leave their side empty because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. And it doesn't matter if it's the 27 Yankees, the LSU Tigers, or Asbury, or Dallas. Those names don't matter. It's about our names, and it's about what we do. And if we go up there and we continue to do what we've been doing offensively, we'll be fine. You know, you get in there and control the strike zone, control the running game, take care of the ball, we'll be okay. But I'm looking forward to the challenge. Love playing new people. We haven't played them yet. So we'll roll up there on Friday and get a nice little practice in at some point along the way, and then go play them at noon on Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, good luck this weekend against the University of Dallas. And then we'll talk to you next week before you guys head to the conference tournament. And obviously a lot going there. NCAA tournament is obviously where you want to be, but you also would love to go into that tournament with a trophy and
no question.
Getting some ring sizes from your guys. And I know that you feel like you've got some unfinished business from last year's conference tournament. So we'll talk to you about that next week. But Coach, thanks for taking the time today.
Appreciate it, man. See ya.
Purpose. It starts with an idea, a design. It's a process that requires molding and a firm foundation. Belhaven University can help you find your purpose. Our undergraduate, master degree, and doctorate programs can mold Christian leaders to become instrumental in the workplace. Find your purpose. Shape your future. At Belhaven University.